I wonder what your reaction is to this story that we read together, to this account. Horror, perhaps. Especially when you read Leviticus chapter 1 and understand how a burnt offering was supposed to be made. Abraham is called on to offer Isaac as a burnt offering, to slit his throat, to skin him, to cut him into pieces and burn his flesh on the altar. I mean, what is your reaction? To ears not tuned to the God of the Bible, it sounds very primitive. A whimsical, capricious God, like the Greek gods, playing with one of their creatures, testing them, experimenting on them, toying with them to see how far they can push them. But of course, that is not what is going on at all. This is the God of the Bible. Such a capricious God like that would be no more worthy of respect than the death camp doctor experimenting on his patients, or the small child watching a spider struggle as he pulls its legs off one by one. No, here in Genesis 22, we are dealing with the God of the Bible. And what is going on in this chapter is not some capricious test. Rather, like watching the trailer for a film that is coming soon, when we read Genesis 22, we are watching the preview of a future event. And the event in Genesis chapter 22 is the event of all of history. It is the death and resurrection of God's own Son, our substitute. Martin Luther's wife, Katie, was horrified when she read Genesis 22. How could God demand that Abraham do such a thing, she asked, to sacrifice his own son? But that is the very thing, Luther replied, that God did for us. And Abraham, it seems, is given a unique insight into the passion of his own descendant, Jesus, the promised seed. In the drama that follows, Abraham understands, perhaps more than anyone else in the Old Testament, the emotions of God the Father when he offered up his son for the world. What we see in Genesis 22 is indeed a test of Abraham's faith, but not in the sense of a malicious experiment or an investigation into Abraham's faith. Rather, it was a demonstration. If you go to buy a car, the salesman might offer you the chance to test drive the car. It's not a test to see if the car's designed properly or if it's going to fall to pieces. It's a chance for the salesman to show off the car, to demonstrate how good it is. And here in Genesis 22, Abraham demonstrates his faith in the living God and in his promised seed. The New Testament explains it this way in James chapter 2, verse 20. Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. It means his faith found its goal in what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Genesis 15:6. Abraham's offering of Isaac showed that his faith was real faith. It wasn't just a Sunday faith. He demonstrated that he really did trust the Lord and his promised seed. And what a demonstration it was. Back in chapter 12, the promise had come to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. The promise is repeated three chapters later. Descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. But then the years pass and nothing seems to happen. It looks as if the promise has failed. So Abraham takes matters into his own hands. He sleeps with his wife's servant Hagar in an effort to fulfill the promise himself. But human works can never bring us God's salvation. And the promised seed will not come through Ishmael. 13 more years pass, and by now Abraham is 99 years old. He and Sarah are well and truly beyond the help of even the best fertility doctors. And it's then, when it's humanly impossible for them to have children, that the Lord visits Abraham again and says, get the nursery ready. This time next year, you and Sarah will have a child. Well, most parents have great hopes for their children. But the Lord had promised Abraham that not only would Isaac be the father of a great nation, through Isaac, Jesus, the promised seed, would one day come and be a blessing to the whole world. So now in chapter 2, verse 1, God says to Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring, or seed, will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Abraham believed that if God had promised that the seed, Jesus Christ, would come through Isaac's line, then if Isaac was to be sacrificed, God would have to raise him from the dead again. And in a sense, the writer tells us, Abraham did receive Isaac back from the dead. It was an education for Abraham. You see, more is going on than perhaps first appears. God refers to Isaac in verse 2 in a very deliberate way. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. But Isaac, of course, we know was not Abraham's only son. We see in Genesis 21 that Abraham had another son with his wife's servant, Ishmael. And even though Abraham sends Ishmael away, it's not true to say that Isaac was his only son. But something more significant is intended in the way the Lord describes Isaac in verse 2. Hebrews 11 in the Authorized Version, the King James Version, makes it even clearer. Referring to Abraham, Hebrews 11:17 says, "He that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son." Does that language sound familiar to you? In this demonstration of Abraham's faith, Isaac is being portrayed as the only begotten son of the father. So that what happens to Isaac is a little preview of what will one day happen to this son of God, Abraham's promised seed. And when we remember how God the Father spoke of Jesus at his baptism and transfiguration, the echoes are even clearer. "This is my son whom I love," the father says. So Isaac is to play the part of another son, an only begotten son, loved by his father. Well, what is to happen to Isaac? Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. "Take your son," the Lord says, "your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." By the time we get to Genesis 22, we've already seen a couple of burnt offerings in the Bible. But it's not until the burnt offerings are described in the law of Moses that their meaning is spelt out for us. Leviticus 1:3, "If the offering is a burnt offering, he is to offer a male without defect. He is to lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him." The burnt offering, in other words, was a substitute. It was an offering from the flock or herd that took the place of the one offering it. It was slaughtered and burned on an altar, and in dying, it took the curse that the offerer's sin deserved. It made atonement for their sin. So Isaac is to be a burnt offering for Abraham. Isaac is to take Abraham's place as his substitute and to take the curse that Abraham's sin deserves. Saddling a donkey, Abraham and Isaac begin the journey to the appointed place of execution. Verse 4, "On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, 'Stay here with the donkey while the boy and I go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you.' Then, verse 6, Abraham lays the wood on his son's back. The only begotten son, with wood on his back, climbs the hill to the place of sacrifice, where he is to make atonement for the sin of another. Does that sound familiar? To readers of the Bible, it should. And next to him, the father carries the instruments of his son's death, the fire and the knife. Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. Is Abraham trying to deceive Isaac? No, because then Abraham would be not the father of all who have faith in Christ. He would be the father of all liars. No, Abraham speaks the truth when he says God himself will provide the lamb. Perhaps Abraham thinks he won't have to sacrifice his son after all, that God will provide a lamb in Isaac's place so that he will not have to sacrifice his son. No, we've already seen in Hebrews 11 that Abraham fully expected to sacrifice his son Isaac. There was no thought in Abraham's mind that he wouldn't have to go through with it. There was no hesitation. Abraham's obedience springs from his deep understanding of what he's doing. Through what he is doing, Abraham sees, like someone peering through a telescope, that one day God would provide the perfect sacrifice for sin. God himself will provide the lamb, Abraham says. He looks ahead to the coming of the one announced by John the Baptist in John chapter 1, verse 29. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. In fact, Jesus himself tells us that Abraham looked forward to his coming. In John 8, 56, Your father, Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. When they reach the place the Lord told Abraham about, Abraham builds the altar and ties Isaac to it. Verse 10, Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, The Lord Will Provide. And to this day it is said, On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. God himself will provide the lamb. But what is provided in verse 13 is a ram. It wasn't the answer. The ram was not the answer to Abraham's need. Abraham showed that his faith was in the Lamb of God. And presumably he wanted all future generations to trust in him too. So in verse 14, he symbolically named the place, The Lord will provide, not the Lord has provided. God's provision of the lamb who would die as the substitute still lay ahead. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Or perhaps better, on the mountain of the Lord he will be provided. On the mountain of the Lord God will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, the only begotten Son of God, the Lamb of God, Jesus the Messiah. And where is this mountain of the Lord that Abraham is talking about? Where is this place? Verse 2 tells us it was in the region of Moriah. 2 Chronicles chapter 3 verse 1 spells out where Moriah was. It describes how Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah. Moriah is the site of Jerusalem, the mountain on which Jesus would one day die. 20 centuries later, God the Father did indeed offer up his only begotten Son as a sacrifice for our sins. And when the moment came and Christ hung on the cross in our place, the Father didn't hold back the knife, but plunged it into his Son. And no divine voice from heaven commanded him to stop, because Father and Son had planned this moment from before the creation of the world. The loving Father would offer up his beloved Son, and the obedient Son would lovingly offer himself as a substitute to pay for your sin and mine. No other sacrifice could do it. No animal sacrifice could ever pay the price for a man. Only a man who had no sin of his own could die as a substitute for sinful humanity. So here we are, just a few chapters into God's salvation plan, and we hear the words of faith and of gratitude. God himself will provide the Lamb. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you that you have provided that Lamb, your only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you gave him as a substitute to die in our place on the cross, bearing our sin and taking our judgment. Heavenly Father, we pray that we might rest in him and what he has done for us, and trust in his death for us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.